Hey, cool kids. Welcome to this very special episode of Venture Maidens. What you are about to listen to is part two of our second ever Fate Legacy episode, where we dive back into the story of the Fate campaign characters following the events of the Fate campaign finale. As you might suspect, this episode contains major spoilers for the events of the Fate campaign, the first campaign Venture Maidens completed, which takes place 10 years in the past, directly before the events of the Favor campaign. So, if you don't want anything spoiled about the events of that first campaign, or the events that happened in part one of this episode, stop here! Make sure to go listen to the finale of the Fate campaign and the first Legacy episode, as well as the first part of this second Legacy episode before you proceed. Alright, that's the warning! So, I'm gonna get out of your way, and we're gonna head right on back into the past to see what trouble is brewing for our original Venture Maidens crew.
Gather round, travelers, to hear the second part of our tale. Our heroes seek guidance from a former enemy. How will the maidens handle seeing Rem again? Can Kara forgive Farah for her change of heart? What awaits our crew in the remains of Bastard's Breach? Find out in Fate Legacy Episode 2, Part 2. Mystery Machine.
Hello, hello again. Welcome back. It's part two of our Legacy episode. As promised, we are just diving right the hell back into the action. We're so glad you're here for part two of this awesome Legacy episode. Just very quick reminders in case you're new here. Welcome, we're the Venture Maidens for a D&D Actual Play 5th Edition podcast. This is part two of our second ever Legacy episode, which means that if you have not listened to part one, stop right here. Go to your YouTube, go to your podcast feed, and make sure to listen to part one before you listen to this episode, because it will make no sense otherwise. And in case you are just still here, this episode is so full of spoilers for the end of the Fate campaign, like dripping full of spoilers. So do not listen to this episode, just like raining down spoilers. Don't listen if you don't want the end of the Fate campaign spoiled for you. That was your last warning, because we're going to dive right the hell back in. No recap, no nothing. Let's just do a quick round of intros. Hey everybody, my name is Celeste Konowich, and tonight I will be your Dungeon Master.
Hello, I am Brittany Quintero, and I'm Fear Moon Elf Warlock Arnadel Ithil.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I'm playing Farah Valen, Tiefling Sorceress.
What's up? I'm Nassim, and I'm playing your human monk, Sayanor.
Oh, shit. All right. So like I said, no recap, because we're doing it live.
You forgot someone important!
Every time. I wait now when there's five voices instead of four. Rewind! It's one more person. I'm a liar. Go. Sage, please. I'm so sorry.
We're killing it.
And I'm Sage, and I am your pragmatic paladin barbarian, Kara Brynhilda.
Shit. Last, certainly not least, even though my dumbass rolled right over you. Like I said, I'm very excited because, boy, a lot happened last episode. So just, you know, rolling on with that. So we are picking up right at the end of part one here, where we had just had some very hard conversations, some fun conversations, and then some update conversations, some relationship stuff, and then some big picture job conversations. So we had just left Kara and Farah chatting about kind of a division between the Furies now and the Follies, splitting off into two distinct factions here. But I think all of those conversations, you know, were part of this growing long night that you all had. So after that, you all find your way to bed with the knowledge that Rem and Mila, her charge, will probably be showing up sometime bright and early tomorrow. So we go to sleep. And luckily, this isn't the favorite campaign, so nobody has any terrible dreams that torment them.
I was about to say.
Don't worry. Every time you say those words, I'm like, my butt just clenches a little bit.
Don't worry. That's not in fate. We didn't do dreams and flashbacks, so we're fine. Everybody just goes the fuck to sleep, and you all are very tired, so... You know, you either get some good meditation in if you're an elf, or everyone else conks the hell out after the long, long battle events you've experienced in the past day. And that brings us into the morning. Bright, bright and early, because, again, it's the desert. There's no shade. There's nothing. So the minute that sun crests, it's just everywhere flooded with bright light and immediately becomes hot. Again, and the temperature and everything, and the close, cramped quarters you all are in, it's uncomfortable. So with the dawn, you can't help but rise, as you do all also begin to hear some kind of bustling happening in, you know, the open air courtyard around, as people are clearly coming in through the front gates.
Sawyer's up and at him. She's working out. No hangover. She's good to go.
Purity of body, baby. I'm a monk. I can't be poisoned. Alcohol does nothing to me.
Probably like drinking coffee and reading shit.
Yeah, catching up all of the mail that's come here that you haven't been able to read in a long time. Yeah.
Farah is passed out in her cot, a little bit of drool just coming from the corner of her mouth. But as that desert sun hits the side of her face, her skin glistens in such a way that you know she's got a really high charisma score.
I'm beautiful. I'm just like an Edward Cullen constantly with my charisma. I'm just like diamond skin, twilight all day. Amazing.
Girl doesn't sweat, she glistens.
You know.
How's Kara doing? Are you a morning person now? Has this life made you a morning person?
She has had it beaten into her by now, for sure. I think she is even at the point where she begins to enjoy the subtlety and the quiet of the morning before everyone else is awake, and it just gets so loud constantly. And so I think she's, she's up and at him with Saye, I think even. She's not active, but, you know, she... It definitely was not a great night of sleep for her, though.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Kristoff has been out there with you since the morning anyway, too. And I think, Kara, as you've started to get, you know, more and more attuned to this, you realize that Azold as well is a very early riser. And it probably occurs to you at some point, this kind of burden of leadership almost forces this, that rare moment of peace. They both seem to crave it. And you find yourself more and more hanging out with them just early and in silence these days. Yeah, so all of this then, for those of you in the courtyard and those of you already awake, you see exactly what the, you know, the fuss is at the front gates as two horses and two riders are welcomed into North Point bright and early, one riding on, you know, a huge dark Mustang, and then the other on a smaller kind of pony. Two figures, one you haven't seen in a while, except, well, you, Kara, have seen a time or two before. Rem, in her, even despite the desert sun, in her black leather armor, black cloak, you know, close-cropped black hair, as she is riding in here on that large black horse. And then Mila, who... you haven't seen in a while, Kara. Farah, you've seen her a time or two as she's visited Aaron, but she has basically, she is full tween at this point now, probably 12, 13. So just growing up real fast, like even if it's not so much literal years, but she just seems like she's had to grow up a lot in the last period of time. But she is riding in on not in the full black that her companion is, but kind of a very practical, like, lavender-colored riding gown as she comes in here with her, like, weird, you know, silver hair and purple eyes. And they pass in through the gates, and Kara, a page, you know, runs to you and is like, ma'am, your guests are here asking for you.
And she kind of snort laughs at ma'am, and she's like, it's, just call everyone sir, it makes it easier. Ma'am sounds a little silly.
Yes, sir, ma'am, ma'am, sir, I'm so sorry. And you're like, he's new, you've never seen him before. The pages, like, the new trainees, they just come and go, like...
He barely knows what buildings are what. Yeah, and she gives him a playful punch on the arm, which is a little bit harder than she intended. And then we'll go to the front gate to be part of the welcome brigade for Rem.
Of course. Oh boy, these Empire things. It's just so silly. There's a whole thing. Like, when somebody comes in the gates, you have to go out and check, and it's a whole thing. And, you know, Ravain is there and, like, meets you. And they come in, and, you know, you're standing there in the sun. And Rem will, like, hop down off of her horse and then come help Mila down. And you see their horses are taken off towards the stable yards. And Rem comes and gives you, like, a respectful bow. Mila does like a little lady curtsy, and Rem says, it's been a while. Hot. Still.
It sure is. Yep, it's ceaseless, one might say. Thank you for coming on short notice. We are in need of your particular skills, dear Mila, as she turns to face her.
And Mila looks at you with just so wide, like a perpetual deer in headlights kind of eyes. And her eyes have always been a little bit weird and a little bit far away. She seems to look through you and just kind of nods. And Rem says, yeah, honestly, this is a little sudden, but seemed pretty urgent. Can we talk here or should we talk somewhere else?
And Carl will give a nod towards the usual secure conference room for important matters. And we'll also lean over to Ravain of, I gotta catch you up on some stuff we figured out yesterday, too. Better come with.
All right. He looks over Rem, and gives sort of a careful nod. You know that... His opinion is of demigods. He doesn't like Tress. He doesn't like Rem. He doesn't like any, like, all these supernatural friends. He's polite, but all right. He leads the way politely as you all are ushered in. And I'm sure you all can be collected and assembled in this room.
Yeah, Farrah walks in holding, like, a very thick cup of coffee. And just kind of, like, plops herself down, relaxed, kicks her feet up at the table, gives a little nod to Mila. Hey, girl, what's up? How you doing? How's the trip?
And Mila will, you know, do the shy, like, awkward teen smile and be like, it was okay.
Sweet. Should hang out sometime, you know, when this isn't happening.
She kind of, like, gives you, like, a, I don't know what to say to that, and looks up at Rem, who, like, shrugs at her. They very instantly have, they've spent a lot of time together. You can tell, all of you can tell that very quickly. And Rem will kind of stand there while you, Saye, and you, Arnadel, come in, because you two haven't seen her probably since that day. So she sort of crosses her arms and then puts them on her hips and then crosses her arms again and is like, hey.
Rem?
Sorry, Arnadel? You look well.
As do you.
Oh my god, this is so weird, guys. Can we?
I was gonna say, I feel like I've probably written letters with Mila, considering, like, Aaron and I trying to work things out, and, like, I've always liked Mila, so I feel like I would have communicated with her.
Yeah, Mila doesn't seem to have the, you know, the weirdness, but Rem clearly, like, Rem obviously doesn't seem to know how you all feel, and she's kind of very intentionally, like, letting you all kind of guide it. And so she, you know, if you all nod, and she's like, okay, you know, after Farrah's like, snap it, she'll be like, and kick her feet up, you know, on a chair, and, like, lean back at the table's edge.
I mean, should we get going? I don't really have anything to say.
Yeah, well, I suppose we should probably start with the basics. You know, a little bit of background usually helps the kid figure out her thing. And she sort of looks at Mila, and Mila, like, nods.
Well, the Raven Queen said that it was made on this material plane by mortal hands. But the design is Titan.
And the materials are Titan, too. And we've been getting visits from god avatars, which we're not fans of. They don't particularly like us.
We have one of these gates, which are, as I said, of Titan construction. And Gidget brought one back, so that should be a help in for Mila, as I would imagine, to be able to hopefully trace some kind of magical signature or track down the creator themselves, if it is one creator who's making these.
We don't really know their intended purpose, but given that they're gates, they act as doorways, obviously to somehow connect gods to this realm and bring them to mortals.
Have either of you seen or heard anything of avatars of gods walking the plains? We just encountered, in fact, yesterday, the Avatar of Fate.
There have been some whispers I've come across about odd happenings there, but nothing in the way of a full avatar. I mean, the last avatar I dealt with, I'm sure you all are intimately familiar with. When you say avatar, what do you mean exactly?
The gods sending some portion of themselves to walk in the material realm amongst mortal kind.
Well, shit, that's not good for any of us.
I agree.
You don't think that they'll like hanging out with you either? I wonder why.
You know, I think I might be on their shit list just as much as all of you.
Awesome.
I love when our interests align.
It is truly a thing of beauty.
Ain't it great? Well, Mila, what do you think? And Rem looks at her expectantly, and she's looking around the room, you know, all of these important people standing around her.
If I could see it. Maybe. If I could touch it, I might. I'm not getting anything right now.
Oh, yeah. I'll show you where my work studio is.
Okay.
She stands up, you know, hunched shoulders, like, she's getting tall, and it's that thing, like, you know, if they had hoodies at this age, like, she'd just be, like, in a big hoodie, you know, trying not to exist. Like, it's that kind of age. She just stands up and sort of follows.
I think I'll take this moment to kind of like, so have you talked to Aaron?
Yeah, Rem took me to visit him a couple weeks ago.
Okay, yeah, he probably told you maybe, but you know, we're still friends. It's good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you too.
Then Artadel feels kind of stupid, and she's like, you probably already knew, since, you know, you can see and all.
Well, it's harder to see things about the people I'm close to, so, you know, not. It just doesn't really work that way.
Oh, gotcha. Well, anyway.
Are your friends going to kill Rem?
No. Not that I know of. I mean, I'm being honest. I'm sorry. No, we don't have any plans of killing Rem. Are you okay?
Okay. Yeah, I just, you know, I know that you know, nobody's really happy with what happened, and I like her a lot, and I just don't want her to get hurt.
No, we understand. It's complicated, you know? People fight for the things that they believe in, and sometimes we all don't see the same thing. There's this really, you know, I don't know, it's like looking at different parts of one really big picture and being fully convinced that little tiny part is the whole picture, and it's not.
Yeah, I know what that's like.
Mm. Oh, I bet. No, we called Rem because we need both of your help. I think that's a pretty good way of telling you we're not going to hurt her.
Okay. I believe you.
Yeah, let's work together. Anyway, open my door. That's like perfect timing.
Yeah. She looks around at everything, you know, taking them in with those gigantic eyes, like just scanning efficiently around the room. That's it. Looking at the big ring. She moves, you know, almost like sneaking up on it from away, you know, just totally not focusing on you anymore. And she kind of reaches out a hand tentatively to it and like runs it over the surface. And you see her yank it away before touching it again. It's cold. Somewhere very, very cold. Ice and rushing air somewhere high and far from here. And there are others being made in the cold, and it sings to them.
Right now, in real time?
When you say it, any more details there, or?
Do you have a map?
Sure do. Here you go. Pull it out of a drawer.
Yeah, you can, like, hand her an atlas, and she's looking away, and you see, like, as she's looking at it, it's not like she's looking at you, but she's holding out kind of one hand blindly back as you unfurl it, and just, like, holding it out to her. And she'll like, move her hand over while she's got the hand on the gate. Here. There are others here. And she's pointing, on this map behind me, kids, like right at the very northern end of this mortal realm here in the Valerian Reach, which is like north of where Bastard's Breach used to be, like past these like wastelands. And now like none of you have been to the Valerian Reach for sure, because it's like a fucking glacial wasteland up there. It's like basically walking into the North fucking Pole, except there are big ass fuck you mountains like ringing the whole place, and it is so inhospitable, full of monsters, just the fucking worst. And as she's pointing there to one of these like mountains in this area, you're like, oh fucking shit.
And she basically just, like, pointed to, like, Mount Everest and was like, yeah. Here it is.
You're like, what the fuck? Yeah, and she's...
I circle it promptly.
Do you sense any other beings? Is it just one creature?
I don't know, but there are more. More of them. And she moves her hand over the gate. Many more.
Oh. Don't like that.
This is where they're made.
So people have been very busy very quickly.
Kara will turn to Rem and will say, when we were doing some experimentation yesterday, we discovered that these things are only affected by other things of Titan make. So I will be taking the Avatar.
Are you sure that's a good idea, if Avatars are running around? God. Avatars, I mean. I had a lot of gods on my back while I had that thing with me. More than I think you could handle. Or even me. Now. Without all of that power.
And she will very earnestly look Rem dead in the eye and say, well, having it here is... I mean, we've already fought one yesterday. We're expecting, I'm sure, to see more, especially if these gates allow them to walk into our plane. Do you want to wear it, or should I?
I mean, I would vote we leave the damn thing here. I'm not sure if you noticed, but I also lost quite a bit in the events of what happened, and I certainly don't have the power I once had to back any of you all up. I think wearing that thing is pretty much a death sentence if gods are roaming around again. This would probably be news to Kara, hearing that. You never really asked Rem how that all fucking affected her.
True. She's just been trying to avoid her at all costs for the past 3 months. I think that... it's interesting. Alright, something to think about. What do you all think, then?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I mean, I certainly agree that she shouldn't have it, but given what it might draw attention to, maybe it is best kept behind.
Yeah, she was certainly basically just running the whole last chapter of the campaign away from everything and everyone, so I'm prone to believe her.
And she had a power of a death god that she stole towards the end. She don't got that now.
Maybe we go up there and we... if they're making them and there's some kind of schematic that they've got their hands on, maybe we'll find either one, another kind of schematic or something that we can make to destroy them, or we'll be able to look at what they're comprised of and figure out what would work.
I mean, you said it was made by mortal hands, right? That's what your raven chick said?
Yeah.
So I guess if mortals are making it, there's probably mortals there we can at least stop. If not the big guys.
Yeah, making sure that there's not any more is definitely not as good as getting rid of them all, but it's something. It's a good first step.
Well, by the way, I know we're not on the best of terms, but... it seems like you probably need the kid to point the way, and I'm not leaving her alone. So, if you all don't mind.
It's fair.
I'd like to watch her back if you're going to take her with you.
Nobody's taking anybody. Like, it would be very helpful if you guys came with us.
We would certainly not expect you to not come with us if she is.
Everything with us aside, Mila needs to be protected.
We can agree on that.
You guys have been traveling, though. What do you say we get the kid some food and we prepare ourselves to go from blazing infernally hot to freezing our fucking tits off?
Sure. Just like the old days. Sounds like fun.
I don't mind the cold.
I'd rather feel cold than all of this. But I think you probably already suspected that.
Yeah. Saya walks out.
Rem sighs after that. She's like, I knew that one was going to be hard.
Well, about those sandwiches. Let's grab that in like 30 coats. Where are we going to get fucking coats here? And Farrah kind of walks out too, like thinking about who the fuck she's going to get coats from at North Point.
But But what is interesting, and, you know, you can all kind of move into the planning and, like, preparation phase for this journey. So, unfortunately, there is not a conveniently placed teleportation circle anywhere near there because, well, the last one was in Bastard's Breach, and, well, you all blew that city up about a year ago, so that was gone. But, in the meantime, Bastard's Breach has indeed become a city again, and there are quite a lot of people there. So if you are traveling from North Point, Bastard's Breach is probably actually the biggest, like, way stop on your way before you go north into the Valerian Reach there. So that is going to be the best place to go, to supply up, to even get a guide, like, anything that you need before heading north, which could be pointed out to you on a map, so I'm not sure how all of you feel about that, but that is probably the clearest and best way to go back there. Which, I mean, Saya, as you hear that persona rumbles, I think, in your stomach, even the mention of that place.
Fair is so confused about what you guys are so hesitant about.
Yuck. Farrah's not there. Farrah's no idea.
Well, Farrah doesn't really have much to do left here other than sitting down, getting some food before we head out and packing up a few provisions that are free while we're here.
Anybody else have specific business they want to take care of before they go?
Outside of, like, the normal, like, preparation for a trip and sharpening the blades and
Packing stuff.
Packing necessities.
Just a couple extra wraps to be a little bit more bundled up in.
More bundled. some extra padding.
I guess a little more clothes.
Not my long crop top instead of just my crop top.
Yeah.
Because some people call it a shirt, but, like, pff, how blasé. I think, Saye, you will at some point get a knock on your door as you're kind of packing. And since it's not really your door, it's kind of a public barracks. You know, Rem will just sort of hang her head in.
Yes?
I was just wanted to chat if you're willing. Maybe explain some stuff.
Oh, now we want to explain some stuff? I mean, sure. Come on in.
All right. Yeah. She sort of steps in and looks around and is like, nice digs.
Yeah, I'm very grateful that we still have a place to come to.
Yeah. So I got the feeling that you are probably a little upset about what happened, and I thought that maybe we could talk, or I don't know, fist fight or something that would make you feel better.
Well, I think I've said everything I needed to say, and I would be interested to know what you have to say now after so much time, when we had been, you know, waiting for so long to hear from you. But please go ahead. You came to me.
Yeah, okay. I guess I just wanted to say, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry for what I did. I think it had to be done. But I'm sorry for the way it hurt you. The way I hurt you. And, I know words probably don't do a lot. But I thought it was important to let you know.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate the effort. Really, I guess I've just been awakened it did take, obviously, till the last second for us to understand what you were doing. Eventually, we came to the same conclusion. We did fight together. We built this new reality together. But knowing what the nature of these gods truly are, and how disappointing that must have been for so much of the world, and for us, this cause that we had been dedicating our lives to for so long, that was pretty shattering. And we had been kept in the dark that whole time. So while I appreciate, I really do, you trying to apologize, it still reads true to this godly behavior. That it's still self-serving. It's still almost condescending to think that we couldn't have been trusted to know any of that sooner, because you are the all-powerful, the all-knowing, these, this, and that. Well, I'm just a human, so I can't even understand what happens and what you feel, and you, just as I don't think you can possibly understand what I feel, because you're so far removed from that, obviously, to think that you could have gone and done all of that on your own without even trying. But that's, again, your nature. So you thought you were doing what was best.
Yeah. Okay. Right. The same way. I guess I... Well, here we are. Okay, I think maybe this is why it hurts so much one way and the other, because I think I'm exactly the same in that I don't understand you or any of you. I don't understand what mortals really want or how they react to things. I don't know. I didn't know I could trust you, and I still don't. I've never trusted anyone, and I feel like it would be foolish to have started with something as big and as important as I did. So, yeah, that's my nature, I guess, and if it's your nature to hate me for that, then I suppose now at least we understand each other.
I don't think I have enough energy to hate anything, but I certainly don't want to. But that's just what it is. I just don't think we can understand each other. I appreciate your help and you coming here and coming to me as well. But I just think this is where we leave it.
It wasn't me that tore you up, by the way. Just wanted you to know that, too. Those fucking maze spirits. They got me, too, but I healed, obviously, a lot quicker than you did.
All right. Well.
Sorry, just thought that was important. I guess I really don't... I really don't get it. Sorry.
It's okay. Like I said, I don't have the energy to carry any of that anymore. So, I don't wish you any ill will. But I also don't wish anything of you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. That's about right. All right. Cool, I gotta pack a bone or whatever. Backs out of the room. You hear like a like something, like maybe somebody punched a wall with a lot of force somewhere far away as some frustrated footsteps walk down the hall. So with that, we can all, like, pack up our shit and, you know, meet back up in this, like, main walkway. And Gidget actually meets up with you all here.
and you see there's like horses for all of you. Kara, you have never seen these horses before at North Point. Horses do not do well here in this environment, so you rarely see them at all. But like these gorgeous shining horses just somehow appear. And Gidget is like, I have been waiting to show you all this. One of my latest innovations. I've been studying, obviously, correspondence with Wizban and learning a little bit about effigies and that sort of thing. And finally, I was able to go ahead and put some of this into practice. And, well, I know you can't teleport, of course, to the breach, but this should help. Horses that will never get tired.
Amazing as always, Gidget.
Yeah, and I picked this one for you because I know you... Lowrider.
Amazing.
You see, like, it's a Mustang. It's still a beautiful warhorse, but it's, like, just a little bit, you know, the stockier, like, build. It's not a pony, but, like, just a horse that seemed just tailored for your stout frame.
She beams in delight at it.
Well, all of you, safe trip. Please, when you do get there and you let me know, Kara, I've gone ahead and packed in your bags. If you can just set it up, I'll be able to come to you and bring my full team. As soon as you go ahead and give the okay, we'll get in there and we'll be able to help you shut anything down or whatever you need.
All right, good. We'll scout out and eliminate any danger.
You know, and everybody's, you know, standing outside. So obviously, you know, Kristoff and Ravain all wish you well and make sure, you know, stay in contact any of you who might get in trouble. And, you know, Isolde is there as well. And Kara, she'll, you know, make sure to come up to you and kind of pats you right on, you know, the leg as you like mount up. And she says, be safe.
Always am.
And there's like a that comes from like, you know, Rem's horse that is just dancing the fuck around, and you just feel eyes in the back of your head at that whole exchange.
In that exact moment, Farah goes over to Rem with her horse on the reins and just kind of blocks off the view of Kara and Isolde and is like, hey, so tell me, and just starts like engaging her in conversation and blocking the scene off. Yeah, when are you guys going to swing by the Checkered Follies camps? Because we were wondering if maybe you wanted to come on board, and just like totally blocking out the interaction.
I don't think the feeling of eyes goes away, Kara, as this happens, and you get the distinct feeling, Farah. Like, almost like when you look at a skull, you know, how it's looking at you, but it's not really looking at you, as Rem just kind of stares through you and, like, nods along with whatever you're saying. And Mila will go, oh, yeah, we'd love to come visit, and kind of, like, inserts herself in to answer the questions. Poor Rem, looking up at her, like, a little bit worried, it feels like. But you all make your farewells and set out on your way. So the four of you, Mila and Rem, the party of six, moving off into the desert. And Kara, by now, you have gone and walked these paths. You've been on so many patrols and, like, you are getting very familiar with the local, you know, terrain and areas. You've had to learn the supply routes that go from North Point all the way back into... like, you know, the wastes, basically, like, where Bastard's Breach is. So it's no trouble at all for you to find the path. This is gonna probably be, like, a 3 or 4 day ride at this point. So you are set up for a few days of traveling, a few days of camping. Luckily, the horses never get tired. They don't need to eat, they don't need to sleep, so you are basically only have to stop when you humans need to stop, or you humanoids need to stop and have a break. Farah, Chess didn't come with you in, like, physical form, but he will be around in case you need him. But he doesn't tend to like to go camping. That's not really his vibe.
So. Neither does she.
Yeah. But we that's can't something all you share. Gods. When you want vacations, you don't go camping. that's that. So he'll be around if you need. But
it's just you all, and a tween and a demigod with feelings. So that's it.
A party, a tween, and a demigod walk into a bar.
How's that first day go?
I think there's a lot of tension all around, and I feel like we're all dealing with it in our own way.
Farrah mm-hmm. blatantly ignoring it because she hates everything about it. I think that she's just kind of like in her own head and kind of like turns in a little early just because she like keeps trying to work herself up to share with like Arnie and Saye about what she talked with Kara about, but she's just like, you know, finding excuses. It's already so weird with Rem here. I'm just gonna not right now, and goes to bed.
Yeah, it's funny because normally Saye would be very alert and aware of your two tension, but given that she's actively trying to maneuver around Rem, just be like, she's here, but we don't need to acknowledge that. We don't need to interact anymore, is kind of letting other things fall away into the periphery as well.
Yeah, and I think probably after a day, you know, of that, whenever you all stop to make camp, Rem will just be like, I'm gonna leave Mila with you all for a while and do my thing. I'll be back. I'll keep watch.
What's your thing?
Oh, you know.
No, I don't.
Dead people stuff.
Ooh, all right, have fun.
It's my lot. She'll kind of, you know, throw off her, like, cloak, despite it being, because it gets very fucking cold at night in the desert. Like, it's just, it's the worst. It's so hot during the day, and then it's, like, freeze to death cold at night. So she'll just kind of throw off her cloak, and her face, like, as the moonlight hits, gets very skull-like as she just kind of walks out into the desert, you know, and disappears. And you get the sense that she's doing it not so much because she needs to, but she just doesn't want to be, doesn't feel welcome and doesn't want to impose.
I feel like Mila is like the most popular person at camp because she's like a perfect way to deflect the awkwardness. Like, oh, a teen, let me.
It's like when you go to someone's house and you're like having a terrible time, but they have a really good dog and you're like, I'm just going to play with your dog and like talk to your dog the whole time. And yeah, tween. And you know, you all watch too. Mila like looks sadly as like Rem goes off in the desert, but she's, you know, she pulls out a book and is clearly used to like doing her own thing. It's very clear that she and Rem have like fallen into a very comfortable pattern with each other.
I don't feel that awkward about Rem. There were a handful of times when she was pulling that shit that I definitely questioned just how bad she was. And especially working through all my shit with Aaron, I think I've done some emotional work on forgiveness and understanding and making peace with things. So it's awkward for Arnadel in that she wants to be there for Saye, you know, everybody else's feelings with Rem. But she was also like, I don't mind sitting next to her and talking to her. I guess like
Saye has no problem with anyone else's feelings towards Rem. Her feelings are her own completely.
Well, I mean, like, in the fact that, like, I'm not gonna be like, hey, girl, how's it been? What you been up to? You know, like.
No, I mean, like, she's not mopey or anything either. It's just, like, she's clearly keeping her distance from her, but that's probably the biggest thing that's causing the tension that you're noticing. It's not that she's, like, stomping around or, like.
No, it was
aggressively doing anything. It's just like, you're over there, I'm gonna be over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, Arnadel, it's almost like if you are having those thoughts, they're crossing your mind, Mila will out of nowhere pat your knee and be like, it's okay, a lot of people think that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, like, I'm just like, I've always kind of like had left space in my mind for Rem to not be the bad guy. Like, you know, like, I don't know. And yeah, I'd just kind of pat Mila too. And I'll go like, oh man. Well, anyway, warm enough.
Yeah.
Cool. Me too.
Yeah. We go camping a lot. A lot of moving around.
How's El's horse farm?
Well, we don't really go there anymore. We don't go a lot of places anymore.
Mm. Yeah, the world's kind of topsy-turvy. I haven't really been too many places either. Just honestly, the keep and Raven's Queen's realm.
Yeah, well, everywhere we turn, there's somebody trying to kill us, so we can't even be in the mortal realm a lot, and we can't really be anywhere else anymore.
Mm.
Is that because of who you're traveling with, or are you still not safe just being who you are?
I mean, that's what Rem took me from. People have always been trying to kill me or use me my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she saved me. So not really much has changed. But I've got Rem to protect me now, so.
Well, we'll protect you too.
Yeah. And you've had Aaron to protect you. You've got a lot of people that care about you.
Yeah, but they all have to, you know, grow up and move on. But Rem doesn't have to. So that's good.
What do you guys do for fun?
I like books.
Oh, girl.
Is that it?
I mean, it's not like I can really make a lot of friends or anything, so I don't really... We play games.
Like what?
What's your favorite game to play? We can play.
Do you play chess?
This one's great at chess, pointing at Arnadel.
Or cards, or the graveyard game, but I don't think you'd really like to play that. She says and kind of laughs.
I don't think I would either. They have a game in Phelan. It's brand new, okay? Mm-hmm. I brought it with me because I get so bored so easily. It's called Una. And you have all these different color cards. And you can be, this isn't for you, you're too young, but you can be, and she looks at everyone else, so drunk and have the best time playing this game. Like, it's the most incredible thing ever. But it's also really fun if you're sober. Anyone?
Yeah, I'll play.
You can take it back with you, too. And also, you should consider getting a cat.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, you know, Rem can get me whatever I want, so I... You know, you keep your cards, and I'll get my own.
No, it's okay. It's a gift from me to you.
Yeah.
You can get things from other people than Rem. It's not healthy to make one person your everything. Found that out the hard way with way too many guys.
She looks at you like, okay, I don't understand, but I'm polite and I'm nodding.
Great. I'll explain the rules. And she like takes out this deck. And, like, everyone in their sleeping bags, like, she's not getting out of the lay down position, but she's just, like, pushing cards out to everybody.
Farrah is the best mom ever.
Farrah just invented Una. Amazing.
Dispensing wisdom. Yes.
All right. Yeah, so you all, you know, into the night, and Rem comes back, you know, early in the morning. So you probably all, you know, wake up, and she's... patrolling around camp, you know, sitting around. She doesn't need to sleep, so she can just watch for you all. And then day two begins. You set out very early to avoid, you know, the mega heat of the day, continuing along, trying to keep to the shadow of the teeth as much as possible as you're moving through. You pass by that point where you all stopped before, where you ran into that, you know, den of, like, werelions that are still there, still living, still thriving. It's off season for them, so they're actually out. But you can stop and stay in their caves for the evening. So anything notable happened on day two?
I think the evening of day two, when Rem looks like she's going to be doing whatever she does out there, Kara will kind of catch her on her way as she's walking out of the camp.
Yeah. She says, like, kind of bracing herself before you even say anything.
And Kara kind of laughs and she holds her hands up and she's like, I come in peace. Don't worry. This is honestly...
All right, I'll put the claws away.
It's honestly an olive branch.
How can I help you, Kara?
So I happen to notice that... You noticing Isolde and I saying goodbye to each other, and that you haunt the hallways whenever I've been trying to have a conversation with her. It's, you know, it's a weird kind of foresight you have.
Haunt is a good word for me. She laughs a little at that, her own joke.
I just, I want to say, I know what you and Isolde had was something I will never understand. And I just, you obviously say that I do really like her, but I obviously don't want to upset you.
I mean, are you, asking for permission here, or what are we, what's going on here?
I'm saying that I don't want to be in competition to try and win Fair Lady's heart with you. I'm not gonna win that game against you. I know that. I don't think anyone actually wins in that game. So I'm asking if you really are just fucking with me, or if you are trying to make amends. Because obviously, we both want what's best for Isolde.
I know the cost of what I did and I chose. I know what I bought. And I know what I sold for that. And I think I'm starting to understand more and more how very not a part of her world I am. I think I've not been the best at letting that go. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I would love for that to happen.
I wouldn't expect you to.
But I, maybe what Isolde needs isn't more strangeness. And you're very different from me. So I suppose I could be around less if you think that would help.
Saying, well, this is not my place to say, but in any case, I just wanted to ensure that I wouldn't make an enemy of someone who I have, of who I had long considered a friend.
I think I keep trying to tell people I'm, I think we're all on the same side.
Precisely. I'm coming to appreciate that more and more.
The side I'm on is to keep the gods out of here. That's always the side I'm on. And if you're on that, then I'm on your side. And it's as simple as that.
And Kara will extend a hand for a handshake on that.
She'll take it, and it gets very, very strong for a minute. She's like, if you hurt her, I swear to God, I will take your soul and
and unflinching, Kara looks her dead in the eyes and says, I know.
All right. I think I do want to walk around alone in the desert for a bit, if you don't mind.
Kara will make her way back to camp.
It's crunching of bones, just bones, like without any muscle coming from somewhere beyond. Day 3. Anything notable about this third and final day as you're finally starting to move out of just the fucking Kronos desert and moving into, I mean, it's the borderlands, so it's still shitty and like dry and arid, but at least it's not, you're not getting the hot and the sand beneath you. That would honestly like destroy normal horses, but since you're on basically robot horses, it's been fine, but finally the sun is starting to let up at least.
Nice, nice, nice.
Hell yeah.
I think there's just a lot less effort on Saya's part to actively avoid Rem. I mean, she's definitely not like trying to have a conversation, but she's also just like tired of trying to like keep a huge distance between the two of them.
It's a long time. It's been so hot. There's only yeah. 6 of you. It's an effort, right?
Yeah. So, and because of that.
And she hasn't tried to talk to you. She seems to have respected your space.
Yeah. But because of that, she's also noticing that there's not really just like a weird, there's something's off between Kara and Farah.
They haven't exactly been chatty either. Yeah, you, the way you've sort of been treating Rem, I think like now that you've like kind of chilled on that, you'd be like, huh, it's weird, you know, Kara, Farah. I imagine Mila and Arnadel have been doing a lot of talking to each other because I think they're the only ones who don't have like a beef with each other. So Mila has been like asking to read, started to read all of your weird books. And honestly, the more you talk to Mila, you're like, wow, sounds very warlocky, Kit. Like the just the kind of the way she thinks and like the experience she's had is very similar to your own. But so they've been vibing. Yeah. And so it probably occurs to you like, oh, shit, the other 2/3 of my party is yeah. weird.
It's been like really quiet lately. I'm really only hearing quiet. These two talk.
Yeah. And it's so boring. They're just so boring when they talk to each other about nerd stuff. I just don't.
Aw.
So, yeah.
Makes me, like, wish I had written her more letters and stuff.
Saya will, like, pull up next to you on Adele and, like, lean in and interrupt your little nerdy conversation. Hey, has, like, Kara or Farah said anything to you about anything?
Oh. Oh, one, also, sorry, like, Mila and I totally got swept away in conversation. I didn't mean to leave you over there. No, they haven't told me anything. That, now that you mention it, I have noticed. I mean, I just kind of thought everybody was in a funky mood because of, like, you know, just anyway, but.
And yeah, but.
Rem looks back at you like.
Why? What? Yeah, I'm not, like I said, yeah. I'm cool with Rem. I'm just like. I mean,
she's like, I know. She nods. She nods. She's like, I know. I know.
I get it.
And I'm like, no, I don't know. But now that you mention it, yeah, like, why? Like, yeah, they say anything. Obviously, you're asking me. No, I don't know anything.
No, I just, yeah, okay. I'm just making sure I'm not imagining things because I also thought, like, maybe it's just because of it. But also, they just, I haven't really seen him talk a whole lot. And, I mean, this is the first time we've been around each other like this much for this long. So, yeah.
Yeah. Normally we just like are, you know, squad walking everywhere. Yeah. That's true.
All right. Well,
should we? I feel like they'll come to us or, you know what I mean? Or I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, we can let them come to us if we're really that patient, but I frankly really want to know what the hell is happening.
When have I ever been that patient?
When have I given people their space? So,
yeah.
I
don't know.
I feel like I'm pretty good at talking to Kara by now. So, if anything, if you want to talk to Farah, I'll talk to Kara and we'll see what we can find out.
All right. You might have to be patient with me because I've been talking to a lot of dead people lately, and there's just a different way.
Rem looks back at you again. Fake arm on the chest. Fake mirth. It's fine.
No, Arnadel's being totally sincere.
Oh, quite literally. Yes, you've been talking to a lot of dead people where the Raven Queen lives. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like the conversations are just different. Like, if anything, I don't know if you've noticed, I've gotten quite a bit more comfortable with being very direct. I don't really beat around the bush anymore. I mean, they're dead. They don't either. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, I'll do my best to be subtle and derp.
That's okay. I don't think Farrah's particularly subtle herself, so I think she'd appreciate that.
Fair enough. All right, cool. Okay. Yeah, I'll let you know what I'm hoping they tell us before we go do this, but yeah.
Well, I don't think Kara's not that type. You gotta pull that shit out of her, so, but I'm the one for that job, so.
If you want, you know, Rem says, Mila and I can go look for some food.
I mean, I don't blame you if you want to leave while we do this.
Yeah, you know, things have been a little emotional around here. We're not super used to that, so. Hey, we're gonna go eat a cactus or something. We'll bring that back.
Farrah turns around and she's wearing like these sunglasses from Phelan, and she just kind of like,
excuse me. This party, I love all of your glow ups. It's giving me great joy.
Okay. Fucking weird.
Okay. Meet up with you in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go. They steer their horses off.
After like a couple of minutes, so it's not so obvious, Saya will pull up towards Kara, wherever she is in the huddle or line. Hey, friend.
Yeah, I imagine since, you know, they go off to find food, and I imagine it's like kind of in the middle of the day where we would stop and take a break and stretch and everything. God, yeah, you're just sitting in the saddle all day, 3 days in a row, and just gotta shake out that soreness. And Saya comes over, and Kara's, you know, ask her, like, so, it's weird being all together with Rem again. It's, something I never thought would happen again in my lifetime.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I definitely didn't see this happening.
But it's nice.
But I'm definitely happy that the four of us are together again, even under these circumstances, but
it's always circumstances with us, but that's, you know, it's part of why I keep you all around, because I know that you'll be good under circumstances.
Yeah. We do better under circumstances together, I guess, at least. We have that going for us.
Well, you and Arnadel, you're the well-adjusted ones. What a world.
Sometimes, I guess. Depends. Depends on what that situation is. Well, speaking of, what is it that you're not really adjusting to at the moment? I mean, I know there's the main one, but I saw you have a little moment with Rem. Seems like maybe you're doing better there.
As you know, I don't hate her. I can't, because at the end of the day, she was right. And we'll disagree until the cows come home about how she did it. But she was right at the end, and I respect that. And you know, I needed to know where she's standing on Isolde.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So you kind of got some answers there, I think.
We got some closure. That's good.
Okay.
Hopefully. He'll be a mood lightener.
Well, that's good to hear.
Car looks relieved that Saya hasn't poked at the thing she thought she would poke at.
Just a second.
Oh, don't worry.
Just one more minute of your time.
That was phase one. That was the warm-up. Yeah.
Car looks like she's gonna go.
Okay, I'm free. So, I'm free. Just before you head off. Are you and Farah good too? Because, I mean, like you said, it's been a while. Maybe it's weird we're all together again. But I don't know. I'm kind of sensing something else is going on here.
She puts her hand on her hips and she lets out this sigh, like, "Oh man, I thought I had it together."
Which I know it's hard for you to talk about these things. I do. But and I don't want to force it out of you. But I know that it. I've been there, you know? We've talked about stuff before, and it can help you to get it off your chest. It sucks to have it just sit on yours all alone. Like, I get that. So, whether you want to share it all now or even a drop, like, I just always want to remind you that I'm here to shoulder things with you.
That really honestly touches her, hearing that. And, you know, she finds a rock to sit on. And she kind of kicks them around with her boot. And finally, she looks up to you. She says, "Fair quit."
Oh.
And like I had said to her, it didn't come as a shock, because it maybe felt like she was pulling away. Or trying to go in a different direction. But she really did seem upset that she felt like she got downgraded in a position of power. And I just feel like I failed her because I wanted us to be partners in this. And I didn't deliver.
Oh, wow. Yeah, wow.
So, you would have been proud of me. I didn't say anything mean. I just wished her luck. But, still disappointed with myself and with her choice to go. But, you know, we'll make do.
Yeah, I mean, understandably. Because, though you're totally right, I guess it's not super surprising. You know, she acted like she didn't want to be there for a while. But I can also see, you know, her side of being caught kind of unawares when things did change. But I get what you did. I get why you did what you did, too. I get both of you, but that's a weird situation to be in.
Yeah. But we gotta get a job done, so we'll deal with those feelings later.
Yeah. I'm just surprised it took her this long to bring it up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe I missed some hints, because if she wanted more say, she could have had it. I was just doing things I felt like needed to get done.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. People were going through a lot at that time. The world was kind of falling apart. We were all just kind of trying to step in and fill in where we could. But I guess that's also why it took her so long. We've been busy.
Ain't that the truth?
So busy.
It's just like real life. I don't like this.
Sorry, art imitates life.
It's easy to let your responsibilities come in the way and let your relationships slip because of that. Well, I'm glad that you both still know that you're friends and you're there for each other. I think that's a great move. You guys are doing the right thing step by step, day by day. That's how you have to do it.
True. Truly. I appreciate you ripping it out of me.
Well, I appreciate you willing to share and letting me be here for you. And if there's anything else I can do with, you know, I'm here.
And she's like, oh man, my back is so sore. Show me those stretches you were doing yesterday morning. I think they might help me roll out my shoulders.
Oh yeah, perfect. There's a perfect rock right here for this other stretch.
So you all have that conversation, and you know, you make it through that final stretch as you're coming into 5, 6 p.m. Finally, the day is starting to cool off, and you leave the desert proper and have been trotting now through these cracked and arid, basically salt flats that make up all the ground on the borderlands. And far in the distance, as the sun is beginning to set, you can see the fires of a city. So it has been a very long time since you all saw Bastard's Breach. And when you did see it, it was about a year ago. I don't think Farrah has probably ever been there. Imagine the whole area around you. It's like a dry tundra, right? There's no snow or anything. It's just dense, packed earth, just baked by the sun with no vegetation for miles and miles and miles. It's just completely flat and cracked. It's horrific land. Like, nothing grows there. It's just arid and shit. And that's one of the only reasons the Empire has allowed, ceded it, right, to the original rebels who started Bastard's Breach. All those people who did not want to live in Empire rule, but they were not welcome as part of the Elven Valley, and they just have inhabited here. So Bastard's Breach has been a fuck you to society, to everything, to the elements from the beginning of time. And last time you saw it, this city was drowned in when Persona was freed from confinement. This water elemental who had been bound there, this like ancient elemental tree, basically a goddess status, bound and made to provide water to the people of this place. The last you had seen it, you had been fleeing from it as everything in it had been swept away. The people drowned, everything destroyed. But here it is again, as those lights, you can see, like, the rough construction of just, like, materials, you know, ruined wagons building, like, this line around the city, brightly lit from even far away, so watchtowers must be up, and fires and torches, and, like, just sprawling tents, half-structures, nothing permanent, basically, as the city has somehow managed to rebuild itself yet again in this year. And even from here, you can see people, you can hear sounds, music coming from miles away. This beacon in the middle of this hideous desert-like wasteland shines bright in defiance of everything and all reason. So there it is, Bastard's Breach. Anything you are preparing before you head into this city? Also, by the way, sorry, this entire time, you feel Persona with you, just sometimes she like moves in the water of your body. You know that feeling when you drink too much water, like on an empty stomach? Like that's just kind of that feeling you've been getting like ever since the city comes into view as she's just moving around.
Yeah, like even though she spent a lot of time after the events of that day to like relocate those people and recoup some of the damage, she knows that no one knows really that it was outside of, you know, our own group, that it was kind of her choices that led to that, but she can't help but feel the need to like put her mask on her face and kind of hide a little bit.
Because I mean, for every person you saved, 10 more died. That's just the long and short of it. A lot of people paid for that. Anybody want to run that by Farrah before you're walking into town? That quick history? Or Farrah's just looking around at, like, grim faces like, what?
Damn, another shitty place.
Another party we crashed.
I'll just fill her in and like, well, it's kind of an interesting story. Well, I'll do it gracefully so that it's not like, I was like, well, they were brutalizing
a water deity using her. Fairy Princess Mononoke.
I've heard that legend.
This puppet show I saw. Yeah, that's it was good. It was really good.
They were gonna go the way of Atlantis.
Oh, gotcha.
Another puppet show you saw. Like, whoa.
They've been putting out some real bangers in those puppet circuits. I'm telling you,
seriously.
Yeah,
only the best puppet shows for the mortal realm.
Yeah, she's just like, okay, you guys did some weird shit, but hey, let's do this. Let's continue on with the weirdness. I don't got anything else to do. And she just kind of flips her sunglasses back down and just keeps trotting on in.
Rem will pipe up and be like, surprised Chess hasn't taken you here.
It does kind of, she's like thinking about the little bit that she knows about Bastard's Breed. She's like, yeah, I mean, it does seem, he does love a good fuck you, you know?
Also the whole Bastard thing. I mean, clearly, I mean, you must have guessed the resemblance, right?
Oh shit, is this his dad?
Yeah, I mean, she'll give you a yeah, obviously, like, look.
We don't really talk about our parents. You know? Why bring that shit up?
Yeah, I get that.
Exactly.
They suck.
But yeah, that makes sense. And she just kind of like, in her little silent way that she speaks with Chess, kind of just like gives him like a little poke. Kind of when she wants him to like look around and notice like where she is somewhere.
I think there's a general feeling of annoyance, not so much at you, but probably more at Rem.
And she just looks at Rapid, like, with this, like, holding back a laugh. She's like, he didn't like that.
Yeah. You know, gods of secrets typically don't enjoy whatever. Who you date is none of my business, she says.
Dating is a really strong word for what we're doing.
Yeah, so I've heard.
How much have you heard?
I mean, there aren't that many demigods in the world, and what you two are doing isn't... Well, I suppose if we did have our own culture, certainly not...
Blasé.
Normal? I guess? I've never considered sharing anything like that.
In that way, or at all?
I mean, not in... I suppose I have no problem with the method of delivery. Sorry, Kara. But that whole... It just feels very... God, mortal... It's just... Honestly, kind of gross. I don't...
Oh, you know... You're welcome to your opinions, but I'll tell you what. It feels great in the moment, and I'm having a good time. And when I don't want to have a good time, I'm not having fun anymore, then we'll stop. Same goes for him.
I guess the whole thing is just very vampiric, honestly. And if there's anyone who knows vampires, it's, you know... Death gods and stuff, so.
Well.
Anyway. she looks deeply uncomfortable this whole conversation. She's never had to put it into words before because what you are doing is so weird and it doesn't really. She also is like, I haven't had enough time or talked about this enough to like have a proper bias about it, but it just feels so weird. So it's a very strange conversation back and forth.
Anyway, let's let's get out of my pants and onto bigger things.
Right. Yeah. Not in. No. Thank you. And so you continue on towards the city. And as you become, you know, like an hour or two away from this place, you very clearly hear music, like loud party music going on through the city. And now you realize, like, as night is falling, it's not just like people are passing in and out and it's busy. There seems to be some kind of festival going on as you are approaching. And as you get closer and closer to the gates, you see and you hear the music of these parades moving through the city. And you begin to see these, like, big effigies, almost like puppets, like Burning Man style, like, held on stilts, gigantic puppets of this figure with this black, half black and half white masks kind of dancing through the streets here. And everybody seems to be wearing these kind of masks, and, like, just the sound of music crashing along and these lights lighting everything up, and drink is being passed through the streets. And as you come in and, like, get closer through the gates, you actually see that these torches or these lights you were seeing are actually these big, like, orbs that have been erected on these pillars. And they're, so it's not fire, it's not like even the arcane orbs you're used to, it's like these are like fucking street lights that have been, like, put through the city at different points. And as you pass in, you see this figure kind of standing at the front gates. And as they look at you, you realize while they look humanoid, their skin is, like, smooth and made of these kind of, like, metal panels. And as you get close to them, it says, "Travelers, do you mean any harm to the citizens of Bastard's Breach?"
"No, we do not."
"Mm-mm-mm-mm. I sense truth in your words. You may pass."
"Nope. Thanks." Fair just trots past.
"Enjoy. Stop by the free booth on your way inside for complimentary ale."
"Oh my god, I take it back. This place is great."
"Enjoy the festival."
"What festival is this, guys? I don't even know what the fuck day it is anymore.
I don't know about a festival."
And this construct thing will turn to each of you in turn and insist that you answer that question directly, by the way.
"No harm intended."
"Do you mean any harm to the citizens?"
"No harm."
"No harm. No harm." As Rem walks past it, the thing doesn't seem to acknowledge her. And she, like, waves a hand in front of it. It doesn't seem to see her.
"Girl, you dead."
"Weird. I'm not really dead. I'm just mostly dead."
"Dead enough." Farrah keeps going towards the beer.
"I think this thing is just rude." "I think it's just rude," she says, and she just walks right on past it. And true to its word, directly as you step inside, you see, if you all have ever been to a, like, a carnival in real life, like one of those root beer, like, stand things where there's the funnels and you just walk up and, like, you keg whatever you want and it's just, like, flowing here, the gears. And as you're looking around this fucking city, which, by the way, was completely gone a year ago, you see paved roads, you see these street lamps, you see these, like, highly advanced vendor carts, like, this kind of shit that doesn't even exist in, like, Phelan. Like, this kind of weird technology as you're looking through. You see, like, there are banners that are strung across the way that are flashing different colored lights that say words as you're moving across in common, like, "Celebrate," like, you know, "Bastard's Day," like, all coming across here. And people just, everywhere you look, there's some kind of technology that you have never seen and is incredibly advanced. Like, as you're looking around and as you all, you know, you're shuffled towards these carts and mugs are placed in your hands, you know, drunken people in masks will come to you and is "Bastard, new people, do you need masks? Here you go." I've shoved in your hand, like, these black and white, they all, like, some are stripe patterns, some are diamonds, some are, you know, checkered, but they're all those black and white patterns that just so very much remind you of Chess and his whole vibe.
Farrah says to Chess, "Oh my god, is it your birthday?" What is this? Talk to me.
And you get a feeling and then feel him behind you as he sort of appears and places like a hand on your shoulder and looks around. This is not good.
Any details you want to provide us other than the fact that there's insane light stuff going on that isn't even in Phelan? What is this? What's happening?
I don't know. And my father, just like the rest, was cast out of here. So I don't know what's going on.
I wonder if he got his own portal thing.
I don't think we'd be the type to be interested in that sort of thing. But then again, I don't really know the old man much these days. Rem, he says, and Rem will go, Chess? And there's ice. There's ice cold. I don't think you all have ever seen them in the same place before. I think in the entirity of the campaign, they avoided each other.
Oh.
There's like audible, like in anime, when two like people with very powerful auras come together and they're like standing across from each other, they're just like just instant hackles.
Out of character question. When we the other day were in Chasiana and there was also a carnival, was that the Checkered Follies there, like putting on a show, or was that a different? Okay.
It was the Checkered Follies, like, hey, a carnival's in town. It wasn't like a, this seems to be some kind of fucking large scale planned holiday event. And honestly, in the last 3 months, you haven't seen fucking anything worshipping any gods anywhere, because they're all gone and everything is terrible. So this is like weird. This is super weird.
Okay, well, you guys have a history, so
yeah, if you don't mind, either I'm going or she's going. And Rem's like, well, I'm not going. And he's like, well. And he looks at you, Farah.
Seriously, we're doing this? There can only be one?
It's uncomfortable.
I have been in leather pants going through a desert for 3 days. You want to talk about uncomfortable?
I can stick it out a little longer, but I can't promise what might happen if I have to spend too much time around her. And she says, like, I don't, you feel her fangs like grow sharper, like there's something that becomes more skull like around each other. It's like they're natural predators, right, around each other. They just seem to have some kind of physiological response.
How about this is a party, we split up for a little bit and try to find out how there's an entire city after the story that you guys told me about your last time here?
Yeah, come on, it's a festival. Can't we all just move past this? And I give like a little annoying nudge to Rem as I walk past her.
Mila will, like, suddenly out of nowhere kind of tug you on the other side, and she looks at you, and she goes, no, 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 and, like, gives you no, 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 shaking head.
Kara is going to change the subject and kind of nudge Arnadel and be like, Arnie, can you tell what's up with these lights? Are they magical? I mean, like, you saw that construct. What's going on here?
Yeah. I wish Gidget was here. I feel like it... I mean, I guess I can do... I obviously would have detected magic right away as soon as it came in.
So as you're looking at them, these things are magical. I mean, just in the same way that gate was magical. And it seems like it's very similar. Like, the way they're woven and put together, it's all very structured and very methodical.
This might be Titan technology.
Mm. Well, it's got like kind of the same, hey, Car, you know, like when you're looking at like fabric, some fabric has a different like weave to it, you know, like wool or like a knit.
Sure. Yeah.
Same kind of thing, right? This has like a different kind of fabric texture than what we're used to seeing, but it has a lot in common with that Titan disc that we were looking at.
I had a feeling.
It's really fascinating. I'm very curious about it.
Something tells me that perhaps maybe there's a Titan around and maybe some people have forged a pact with this Titan, as you know, they're not gods, but they're certainly celestial beings. Who's to say they can't grant power to people in the way that your Raven Queen does?
Hmm. Oh, sure. I'm wondering, like, how bad that technically is. I mean, I think the portal thing's not great. We don't. But this seems like it's doing Bastard's Breach a pretty good, solid. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of neutral. I don't think it's all inherently bad. I think if we just have a better understanding of what's where it's coming from and why.
Agreed.
And you hear a whoa in the streets as, like, crossing by, like, an intersection here. You see, like, a big, there's, like, drums that come through in a group of performers and somebody whose voice is amplified that you can't see. And then, in the wake of all the gods that fell, one rang true above the rest. He stuck out his ass and said, fuck you, the breach! The breach is born again! And you see, like, a big ass, one of these, like, checkered puppets that comes out dancing around, and all of these little tiny, like, golden figure puppets who are clearly some kind of god swirling around this figure, and then the big checkered figure, like, whoop, and like shows his like carved wooden ass to all the rest, and there's like a sound, and all the gods, like all these little like gold figures, like explode or fall down on the ground, and there's a and victorious, you know, this checkered god once again. Blessings! Blessings upon those who are unblessed! Now is the time for us to rise! Hail the bastard god! Hail the bastard god! And all he has wrought! May the empire fall and the breach live forever! There's like a wah! You know, as this is happening, and all of these checkered puppets, like, continue to dance through the streets as this is going along.
Farrah looks over at Chess and she's like, heard from Dad lately?
Sorry, what? He's like, takes his eyes kind of off of Rem.
Yeah, come on. Let's go to the beer booth.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll walk over with you.
Are you okay?
It's... No, it's different. It's one divinity, one half of divinity meeting another. It's one divinity, which is never supposed to exist. Sorry. It's a lot, and she's a lot more powerful than me now with what I'm giving to you. It's hard.
Hey, listen, if you want me to ask her to leave, she can come back when she needs to. She's walked off into the desert like 18 times. It's ridiculous.
No, I think I should go. I'm not sure there's much else I can do here. Honestly, I don't feel my father's presence here. I don't think he's involved in any of this. It doesn't surprise me. This all feels very on brand.
Hmm.
But all of this, I don't sense him here. I don't think any of this is real worship or even reaching his ears.
Gotcha. Well, and she like reaches out and gives him a tight squeeze of a hug, and she's like, appreciate you letting us know, but if this is that uncomfortable for you and you want to go, I'm not gonna hold you back, you know that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm you don't need watching, but I realize that girl does, so she should stay.
That's fine. You can watch me go, though. And she, like, takes her tray of beers, and she like gives him a wink and heads back over to everybody else.
He does a bow, a fish bow as you pass, and kind of fades away into the crowd.
Okay. And Farrah comes back with this big tray and like hands
Rem audibly chill. Like you can see her, like the shoulders just drop as she gets close.
She gives like everybody one, and she gets to Mila, and she like picks up the cup to hand it to her and like gives it, takes it back and looks at Rem.
Rem shrugs, and Mila's like, and then like we'll take a sip and be like, and then dump it out in the street.
Oh my god, wasting.
Oh, sorry. It was gross.
Yeah, but it was free and gross.
Oh, is that important?
It is to me. And she like downs hers.
Mila nods gravely as if you have imparted wisdom to her that she will never forget.
Anyway, I talked with Chess. He's out for now, but he says that he doesn't think his dad has anything to do with this. So I have a feeling that something is imitating the bastard god in order to get praise from all these people. Because as we know, that kind of thing gives you lots of power.
Yeah, well, with what Arnie said, that this looks like very similar to the Titan tech. So maybe it's a Titan posing as Chess's father in order to lay low, keep a low profile.
Could totally be.
What's surprising is that Chess never like had a sense that this was happening, given that it's under his name and his image, you know?
Well, it's not his, it's his dad's. I mean, I have my mother's hair, but we ain't the same person.
Rem will kind of knit her brows as well and say, from what I have gathered, though, Titans can't, or don't, I suppose, absorb faith in the same way as gods. So I'm not sure how a Titan would benefit directly from any of this, right? I mean, if Titans could draw power from mortals the way gods do, they wouldn't have been screwed, frankly, in all of the...
Titans can draw power from gods, can't they? In some sort of...
They just have it, right?
No. Titans sort of... and I mean, I'm not a philosopher here, right? But if Titans made the gods, and the gods were the ones who made mortals, and the gods made the mortals to drain them, so the Titans were sort of out of the equation. I mean, I'm not entirely sure if that's the whole thing, but I'm pretty sure that was why the gods used the mortals to overthrow them, just from the pieces I've gathered.
Well, unless a Titan found a way to take power from a god that way. Like a siphon.
Fair enough. Titans are always inventing things, as we've come to learn.
Well, I guess we could try to find out. I mean, these people seem to feel really close and have like a direct connection with this god. If there is somebody or something posing, maybe other people around here will know more. Maybe they're fucking here. We don't know.
I just have a really bad feeling, a really familiar feeling that something, the history we know of this place is repeating itself. I had this conversation with Persona just a few days ago. History always repeats itself. People are always fighting the same fights. I'm worried that something, the same situation we found Persona in, is happening here in another way.
I certainly wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I mean, these people seem
drunk as hell. Why don't we just start asking around?
We are just south of where Mila had said more of those gates are, so clearly we're close to some sort of power.
Yeah, Rem will look at Mila, who nods and says,
I can still feel it. It's a ways from here, but north through the mountain passes. But it's close enough to for someone to ride if they really needed to.
Are we... We're not splitting the party? Are we going to split the party?
We were
asking around.
Yeah.
Chess is gone now, so... Yeah, Chess clearly didn't come back with Farrah from wherever, so... And Rem seems to have chilled out. So if we want, let's do a round of, like, some persuasion checks or something else he would use to gather some information, see if we can figure out what's going on.
I am going to apply my perfume of bewitching, which I have had in my purse so fucking long. Why
use
not?
Use it! I love that we've recorded for, like, 6 hours and used almost no mechanics. That's okay. Last time we did a big fight. It's very us. Next time, we'll have a big fight. We did. Here you go. Years don't break the pattern. Yeah,
that is what it is. That is a 17 plus 11, 28.
Holy shit. Okay. Anybody else rolling? Yeah, I figure you can all kind of split up, talk to different people.
For
clearly,
sure.
Farrah is succeeding.
Car got a 17.
Okay, pretty good.
I got a 15.
Okay, all right, solid. Brittany, what'd you get?
Oh, persuasion. Oh. Sorry, that was gross.
Warlock me, baby.
Sorry.
Let's do it.
Don't. That was weird. Where did that come from?
I love it. You're Eldrick.
I think it's funny that now that there are three party members who all have charisma 20.
I rolled a 21.
Holy shit. Okay. Yeah. You guys killing it. Killing it. So you start talking to people and all of it. I mean, even 15 was the lowest. And like, these people are in a great mood and they're feeling chatty. And honestly, they don't feel any hesitation, like kind of talking to you all. So like, let's go ahead, Farrah, since you rolled the highest, just lead with what are you asking the people around you?
Yeah, she's just going to, like, chum up with some people at the free beer bar and be like, oh my god, I just got here. What? I have never seen a place like this. How did this get here? Like, do you have, like, a dope patron or something? What's happening? And just, like, looks over at them.
Yeah, someone's, like, pointing, like, are you, like, the lights and stuff? They're like, all of this?
Yeah.
Rava! Rava and the priests of Rava, they'll say to you, and you're like, what? And then let's bounce around. So Arnadel, you got a really high persuasion, so what's the question you would ask that isn't that question?
I'm just kind of like walking around, looking at the lights, kind of tapping, you know, like when like you see old grandpas like trying to figure shit out under the hood or whatever. I'm kind of doing the same thing, and somebody's like dancing next to me. I'm like, hey! You know, I lived here for a while, like, you know, kind of not in Bastard's Breach, but, like, you know, like, I've been around here before. It's changed a lot very quickly. Like, what? Did you just move here?
Oh.
Too?
Oh, you're back? Yeah, no, it was a crap hole. It was a crap hole, but, you know, all the gods died, and then the bastard god was like, yeah, we're here, you know, and he sent Rava down and, like, gave us all this stuff. Long live... You know, the dead gods. Yeah.
Oh, where's this church? You guys have a church for him here?
No. Well, I mean, this whole place is a church. The bastard god, he's the best. But long live Rava. She's dope. And, you know, she's a person. Why would we have a god to a person? Church to a person.
Good to... Oh, I don't know. You know, old Davids, high dard.
Wait, welcome back! Welcome back! We should totally hang out. You know, and that person's like, we should all make friends. And then, Kara, what's a question you ask of these people as we're combining information from different...
Mm-hmm.
I think she finds another one of those constructs, and she, you know, is looking around to, like, the... Like, she sees a smith working on one of the constructs, and she's like, oh my god, What is this? I've never seen anything like this. How are you able to create this?
Oh, well, I mean, I wish I could take credit for this little miss, but I sure can't. You know, I can barely fix these things. They're, you know, a little bit out of my weird wheelhouse, but, you know, I can keep them in good repair until the next time the priests come down to visit. So that's what I try to do, you know, just the little repairs. But the priests are the ones who really understand how to, you know, how all this works.
She's like, oh my god, these are so incredible. Do they ever take on any apprentices? Like, I know someone who would be perfect to learn this kind of work.
You know, I mean, they come down every, you know, a few weeks or so. And I mean, a lot of our young people are obviously happy to go with them, considering all they're doing for the breach. You know, my grandkids are getting up there. You know, they only take people of a certain, you know, age. So a lot of our young folks, but you know, they don't do kids. You know, it's obviously you're going up there to the mountains. You know, death sentence for a kid. But you know, I'm excited to send them up, help Rava do the good work. You know,
just up north up the mountains.
Yeah. I mean, that's where they always come from.
Oh, cool. All right. I'll have to... Do you know if there are any guides that go out there?
Yeah. No, I think there's a... Now, let me, You know, my cousin, actually, he's like... you know, let me write down some people. And then, Sayan, what is the question that you are asking?
Probably striking up conversation about how, like, they've been traveling. And it's like, oh, you know, it wasn't that long ago that I passed through this way. And there wasn't really a lot here. You guys... must have put in a lot of work to get so much up and running in that short amount of time. How did you manage that?
Yeah, and this woman will say, yeah, well, obviously, when things just went to shit in the Empire and all their gods, you know, they started rioting and everything. And this place was pretty much a ghost town. But of course, you know, with the Empire burning, there was a lot of opportunity, a lot of people looking to get out of that. So we all came together to the breach, and it was hard for a little while. But then, you know, Rava and the priests came, and they made it very easy. And, well, clearly the bastard god was looking out for us all. So down with the Empire gods. Long live the bastard. You know, I was a noble in the Empire once, but I don't want anything to do with those fuckers anymore, so I'm much happier here. And I shit in a toilet that cleans itself now, so fuck you, Sarina. She says and likes waving a middle finger drunkenly in front of the air.
A toilet that cleans itself, that's...
Yeah, that's another Rava gift. It just like cleans itself. It's just like,
I can't even imagine the type of power or technology, or is it magic?
I don't fucking know, but it's fantastic.
I'm happy for you. I truly am.
And there's like a thing, it's just like water. You just pew pew and this water comes out. Fucking miracle. It's miracles. That's why it's the best place, and I don't even care that I lost all my land and all my titles. I don't even care. This is so much better here. So much better here.
How long does this festival last?
It's like 3 days, 3 nights. You know, it's only day two, so. Are you single?
I am. My friends are over there.
Do you want to go to my house? It's like over. What?
Good night.
And she's like, look, she's like, hey, like as you just walk away. Yes. So you could all come back together. And it has become very clear to you that there is apparently a woman named Rava who works with some priests in the mountains to the north who come into town every few weeks, deliver amazing technology, and then take young people or anybody who wants to work with them back with them to the mountains. And everybody seems pretty fucking stoked about the arrangement.
Did we ask anyone if they happen to see those people ever again?
This gives me bad vibes.
Sometimes those people come back as priests.
Okay.
But not, you know, the younger ones, because, like, you know, they're probably training or whatever. It's always small groups of these priests, apparently.
All right.
Cults. Fun.
Feels definitely culty. Yeah, Arnadel, you'd be like, whoop. Reads very strongly like warlock cult, like big warlock cult vibes based on what you've experienced in the last 3 months. And also cult activity and warlock patrons, huge fucking problem ever since the gods are gone.
Well, and Arnadel's like also like not all warlocks and patrons have cults.
It's true.
They don't all have to be that. We are not a cult.
You're not part of a cult, but this kind of sounds like a cult. Like, as you're
oh, for like, sure, yeah.
You take the young people.
Like, Dendar was very culty.
You had to, like, drink snake venom and, like, be turned into a snake person. That was a fucking cult. You're not part of a cult.
Yeah. But also, zealots, you know? Crazy. Anyway, I'm like, yeah, it's kind of stinky. It kind of reeks of cultiness.
Mm.
Well,
conversion.
Confirm that they live up north where we are headed, so at least we know we're on the right track.
Yeah. Well, are we going now or are we staying for this party? What's the verdict?
I think we should go now. I think they're nice and drunk. No one is going to be interested in what we're doing. I think we go.
I think if the priests are going to feel probably pretty relaxed that everyone is in town partying, so they're probably not expecting visitors of any kind, so it might give us the edge to investigate what's happening.
I will say, it gets very fucking cold the closer we get up to the mountains, so if there's anything you need, you should grab it here.
Oh, well, yeah, well...
Cold weather clothes!
Let's grab, like... Well, you said that they take kiddos up the mountain who are interested in learning how to do this. I think that's a good bet.
You don't know when they're going to come back. It's apparently every few weeks or so.
We could just, you know, like, take it upon ourselves to say that, like, maybe they probably have provisions because they're at the foot of the mountains. I bet there's, like, at least one shop open that we can throw some coins down and get some furs.
You think they're actually pretty, what you've heard, like, they have to travel and go up the mountain. That's why it's usually the small parties that come down, so you don't think there's going to be much on the way there. You're going to have to be booking it, like, through harsh-ass mountain.
In Bastard's Breach, there's got to be shops that...
Oh, yeah, here in the city. Yeah, this would be a great place. Yeah, you can absolutely get whatever you need right now.
I want some cold weather gear.
Yeah. So, and you all are just have a stupid amount of money. So, you know, you go get whatever you need. And yeah, you set out in the middle of the night with actually, you know, probably the best time to travel. It's cold now, but like better than the baking sun that you would be under. And as you make your way towards this thin mountain pass, because there's really the one way up into the teeth, like the temperature starts to drop and you see, you know, snow-capped peaks all ahead of you. And as you move across the ground, dark shapes of gigantic winged things move across the sky every once in a while. And you have to keep your eyes, you know, northwards as the famous monster tales of the things that haunt this place just echo rattling through your ears. But you continue on. And in probably the earliest hours of dawn, you finally make it to that crevice. And as you're staring up at these kind of glacial walls on either side of you, you see two gigantic statues made of like silver, sort of glinting in the sun. They look like dragons, kind of sitting on their haunches, their noses like just touching over the pass. And these things tower maybe 100 feet tall on either side. And now the cold is definitely starting to creep into your bones as these things are staring down at you.
Okay. How about...
Someone throw something and see what happens.
Is it like... I'm sorry, I have to make a movie reference just for good old time's sake.
Like in the never-ending story with the sphinxes.
Yeah, with the sphinxes, or like also in, you know, Lord of the Rings, as you're passing through, you know, the two statues, the kings of men, like as you're moving through, these things just fucking gigantic, towering over. And honestly, you're not even sure how statues that heavy could sit on glaciers, right? Like, you think they would crack or the weight would shift them.
Oh, you know what? Saya's pretty fucking fast and good at evading. I'll just go through them and see if anything happens.
And while you do that, I'm just going to say right now, I'm casting mage armor on myself. Fuck this shit.
Man, I can... Are they magical? I look...
You look up, they do not read as magical to you.
Hmm. Well, Saya, they're not magical.
So Saya's like, cool, they're not magical. Like Roadrunner, like speed as you like pass through, you know, into this glacial crevice on either side. And as you do, you find yourself, you know, this is a very narrow corridor, probably only about 20 feet across or so. And these sheets of ice are just, you know, clear, opaque, like blue. Just, it's very weird being in this. I'm not sure if you've ever been in an Arctic space like this, but like, fuck, it's strange. And as you hear it, your footsteps, even as light as they are, just the echo, just like you're surrounded by glass. And as you make it, you know, 60 feet ahead into the tunnel, you're like, I'm here. In like a matter of seconds, you hear a crack, like a cracking sound come around you. And like, it echoes in that same way, so it sounds like thundering in your ears as you're trying, like, racing to see where the hell that crack is coming from. And there's a glint of silver as these wings unfurl, and you see these statues were very much not statues, just two living dragons standing perfectly still as their claws crack at the edge of this glacier and icy shards begin to fall on you as they roar outwards, and all of you, the ground shakes with these two gargantuan things. And that's where we're gonna end our legacy episode. How do you fight a party of level 18 characters? You give them two dragons.
Not one, but two.
Also, if we're really playing throwback style, way to leave us on a cliffhanger.
This is the way.
Tradition.
We're supposed to wait a year to fight dragons?
Please tell me we're going to start doing this twice a year like we originally intended.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, yes. I very much hope so. It's been a very busy year, but I hope you all in the audience feel as excited and passionate as we do about how much fun this is. I know I had a great fucking time catching up with you all. I'm like,
oh, hell yeah.
Burying some hatchets, creating some new hatchets.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. There are so many emotions. We have to play so soon.
I would also like to say, since Arnadel is single, oh, great DM.
If you would care.
You could throw some thirsty moments in there for her. She's a more wizened lady.
Perhaps there are more demigods in this world, or perhaps more titans. Who knows?
What, titans?
Saya is feeling increasingly lonely as the only fucking human around. She's like,
everybody's fucking immortal, like, or fucking immortals, like, I don't know.
Well, get you some immortality.
Oh, you do. You're basically immortal as a monk. You're basically like one of the demigods. So I don't know what to tell you,
kid. I want us to all pick retroactive heroic destinies.
Right? Ooh, yeah. I'm down. I mean, I kind of looked at it. Because
you need more power.
I just need more money.
I just want to be the rich one. I just want to be a fortune seeker.
Yep, that's what she wants.
Fuck yeah. Wait, is this out of our book, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, the heroic dust and the new mechanic in there. Yeah, I mean, that would be super fun, you know, if we looked and saw, what do we think we are, for sure.
I'm going to do that. I was, like, slipping through it earlier.
Yeah, you let me know. Maybe. Maybe I'll go. Why not? We're already level 18. Just
balls
like
to the wall.
Let's just do it. Oh man. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. I obviously this was really so great. Thank you. I loved this. I loved every minute of this. I hope you all feel as happy to see you all as I
of
do.
Of course. So,
great.
That was so much fun.
Absolute delight.
All right. Well, you know, this is a very special episode. So we are going to, you know, probably, I mean, is it? We don't even know when this is coming out. We're going to skip news for now. We'll add it back in if we have it. Look in the chat right now for any announcements here. But before we go, we always like to take some time to thank the wonderful, beautiful, amazing people who make this show possible, who have kept the show running for 7 years with donations to our Patreon. Like, you guys are such big damn heroes. Thank you so much. So, Brittany, what we do, we go around and we all read a name off in the same order we do our intros and just say thank you to the people on here. So yeah, so we're gonna go around and just read a name off. So I'm gonna start with saying a thank you to our Arnie's cohorts. Thank you so much, Debbie.
Ooh, I wanna say thank you to Curie.
Thank you, Muffin at the one on Drury Lane on Twitter.
Thank you, Nissa McKinnon.
Thank you so much, Richie113 from our Discord server.
Thank you so much, Tony, our beautiful, wonderful Tony.
Hey. from Ferris Drinking Mates. Thank you so much, Nadia.
We already missed the order.
You say this one.
I think.
Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
And thank you, Markali.
And what's up, Fable? Thank you.
That's me again. God damn it. The order is so hard, you guys. Okay. Thank you so much, Sheepish Gnome.
Thank you, Destiny. New drinking mate.
And thank you to another new drinking mate, Scott.
And thank you, Ben, a.k.a. Flower Crown Gaming. Real one, true one, OG.
Oh, hell yeah. And thank you to another new drinking mate who I believe joined last month. Thank you, Mrim.
Oh, thanks
all
so
these
much,
new homies.
You guys, no. Fucking, I know.
Big love.
Thank you all, you lovely, beautiful humans. I hope you enjoyed this fucking rad legacy episodes. Damn. And that's it. We're gonna have to say goodbye for now, but we'll be back.
So much fun.
We'll always be back. Cause fate can't be stopped even if you cut the web, motherfuckers. So
also, I don't wanna wait that long to battle.
I know.
So many dragons. I was like, what can we do to make Dungeons and Dragons exciting? So many
deities, gods, whatever.
Gods, big ass dragons. Oh,
two
boy.
Dragons. I don't know.
What
dragons
a value pack.
Well, two dragons for now.
Oh god.
We'll see how that goes. But anyway, that's for next time. But until then, everybody, I have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Conowich.
And I have been your Moon Elf Warlock. Oh my god, why is that so hard? Arnadel, don't play by Brittany.
Out of practice. We're just never remembering.
Hi, I'm Katie, and I played Farrah Valen, Tiefling Sorcerer.
Hey, I'm Nassim, and I've played your haughty human monk, Sayanur.
And I'm Sage, and I am your recently bad time barbarian, paladin, Carver.
Bad times barbarian.
Listen, you had some wins. You had some wins. It's the burden of being
fate
so powerful.
Fate giveth and fate taketh away.
Oh boy. But this was fucking great. So, let's say it. So, until next time, everybody.
Venture away,
everybody. Bye-bye.